We have a special for the young sister special. If y'all would make your way up here, and they have a special this evening. So. Carry you. And I looked up and I saw that message right here. I don't know if you ever read this message, On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. We're carried on his wings, sheltered by his wings. Let's all stand. Thank you for that, sisters. We really appreciate that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I told him, I said, you're going to sing it twice. And the meeting's coming up on June 14th. We want you to sing that too. So we appreciate all the effort of our youth and all the musicians. We're a blessed people. And I believe we're called the blessed of the Lord this afternoon. Let's just sing Word of God Ever True as our brother comes. Amen. Holy words, long preserved.
Come today to get your portion. Today we get a double portion. Amen. We get two services today. So next week will be just one, but we will have foot washing and communion. And also the sisters need to meet today, right after service about the food for June the 13th. Now we're going to have a pretty big crowd. June 13th. If everybody comes and said they're going to come, we will need a good bit of food. Because Brother Harris and some of his church is coming, and Brother Richard and some of his church is coming, and Brother Andre is definitely coming, he said, and there'd be maybe one or two with him. So we'll have a full house that weekend. And we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to Brother Stephen and Brother Richard bringing the word that weekend, which will be two weekends from now. So after the service is over today, meet for just a few minutes about the food for June the 13th coming up here. Man, it'd be, June the 1st tomorrow? Wow, time flies. They say time flies when you're having fun. Danny? Okay. Yeah. There's fun in there somewhere. Somewhere. Amen. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Thank you for the ones that stayed for practice today. We appreciate that. We appreciate all the effort to make things a little bit better for our song service, because God loves worship. He loves a worship heart, and that's what we want in this church. We want to be able to worship in spirit and truth. Again, thank you, Ohio Group, for taking your time out, too, for coming to second service. We sure appreciate that. And remember, my buddy Calvin, he may not be online now, but he has Lou Gehrig's disease. He has ALS. And it's a horrible, horrible disease. Incurable. That's what man says. That's what I told him. I said, that's what man says. He's got 1 year to live. So, and he'll be here next Sunday. He was coming today, but he didn't feel very well. But, and we can understand that. It was it's in his throat, and it's called bulbal, because it's a part of the brain. But it affects your speech and your swallowing and all that, not the limbs. And they say it's very accelerated. Then, you know, you've seen people with ALS with their, they couldn't move and paralyzed, but his is in his throat. And we are not, I told him, I said, chin up, man. Chin up. Chin up. We play football together. Chin up, man. We've been through some bad stuff. All right? So we're gonna fight this thing. Amen. And he appreciates. He watched in this morning. He said he really appreciated the prayers, but we're gonna keep praying for him every service. You put him on your prayer list, and we'll see a miracle happen. We'll see a miracle happen. Amen. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Put him up there. Hold him up. I'm telling you, you put yourself in there. You go to the doctor tomorrow and he says you got 1 year, less than a year. And it's one of the most horrible deaths you'll ever die. Think about it. It'll make you pray a little bit more. Amen. And we never know. But he absolutely knows in his heart that he was sent to this church for a purpose. I mean, I hadn't seen the man in 30 years. Well, maybe at a family reunion. Maybe at a reunion, class reunion, but not to converse with him. And then he just out of the blue asked me to do his mom's funeral, you know. Then we get reacquainted again, and then he starts coming, and then he's always had throat problems in the past, but he went to Augusta, I think it was last week, and that's where he got the diagnosis that it was ALS. So, God's good. God puts people in your path. God puts you in people's path. For one reason. Because you know what the disciples told Jesus? Said, thou only have the words of eternal life. And where is he today? He's in his bride. Amen. So we're going to pray earnestly that situation will turn around, and that there'll be one more miracle that we can chalk up to God and forget about the devil. Amen. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening service, Lord. I pray that you would be with the people that have come back, Father, that we will hear something from you, Lord. And Lord, as we were saying with our brother, Lord, I pray that you'd, number one, give him comfort and faith. And Lord, a word of encouragement from all of us is to just keep moving on. Just keep going. Just keep moving along. Let our Christian walk outdo anything the devil has. Lord, I pray this should be with the ones that are here, Father. We have many other sick among us here, too. Lord, I pray this should be with each one, Father. Just bless the word now. Be with us in furtherment of service in Jesus' name. Amen. Also remember me on June the 10th. I'm going to the last guy to check on my knee. And he's the best. Joe knows him. Dr. DeCook, that's who Olivia works for him. And he did your hip and Sue's knee. They say he's the best of the best, and I happen to get an appointment with him next, or June the 10th, which will be Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. So I'm going to sit down with him and see what he has to offer. But God's the healer, we know that. And as we all get older, we, like an old car, we start leaking and falling apart. So, Dano. Oh, me and Danny used to get up, folks. We used to get up and go fishing. He'd work all night. I'd work most of the night. We'd go fishing, fish all morning. Sometimes we didn't have to. We'd catch our limit. And then do it all again. I'm just thinking about it and I'm getting tired. So they said, me too. So say, you want to go fishing? Now we're like, I got to find my rod. I got to find my reel. Yeah. So times change, but you know what? God never changes. And God's got something for us to do or we wouldn't be here. That's just the way I see it. As long as you're here, there's something for you to do in this world. All right. Revelation 6, verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a little black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances. Now, we know who that he is, but we're going to talk about him here in just a minute. He is the devil. He is the deceiver. He's the tripper-upper, as Brother Branham called him. He's the one that is against God. He is anti-Christ. He is anti-word. He's anti-everything. But he wants to be God, and he wants to act like God, and he's close to God. All right? Is everybody with me? And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And then Matthew 24, Jesus tells us, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in many places. And these are just the beginning of sorrows. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You know, I've kind of got the spirit of, what's the brother's name over in Ireland? George Quinn. I've got hooked on the Civil War. You know, we were talking about pestilence and all these things like that. Do you know if there had been penicillin discovered before the Civil War, that of the 600,000 people that died because of it, about 200,000 of them would have lived? Just penicillin. Just one drug. Because what they do is they get shot in the gut, or they get shot to have dirt all over them, and they wouldn't die of the gunshot. They'd die of sepsis or something that was an infection from the gunshot wound, all right? Or them having to saw their limbs off. But there was no painkillers back then either. Well, there was liquor. That's what they'd do. They'd pour it on you or give it to you. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that the advancement of man has helped in an immense degree, like with the penicillin and antibiotics and different things like that, but people still die. It helps, but people still die. We're looking for a penicillin. We're not looking for that. We're looking for the Holy Ghost to take those things away from us, to eradicate them, where we don't have to go through a program or go through a regimen. You know, that's like taking drugs and stuff, which is, it's all right. It's okay. I mean, we take blood pressure medication, I do, and different things. But what are we going to do when we can't get to the grocery or to the pharmacy? What are we going to do? We're going to trust in God. And that's what God wants us to do now. Start trusting in him now. Let's start trusting in what he's doing for us now. All right? Because when we look at this fourth seal, when we get to it, if you want to, please pull that back up, the chart. We're going to see that in that fourth seal that people are healed and take a body change in that seal. All right? Because the fourth seal is a rapture. If we take a rapture, that means our body's already been changed. All right? So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the fourth seal coming up to the fourth seal, which would be the pale horse, which would be the last rider. And it's everything mixed together, but we are now in that eagle age, the eagle anointing, under that fourth seal and under what you and I are living under that right now. All right? We're in the eagle anointing today. All right, so let's look, make sure we got the third seal. So the third seal is the perception of it's a total or near total absence of light reaching the eye. And then I got a couple more I want to read here. This one is from Matthew. We read this morning. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because remember, Satan has come as an angel of what? As an angel of light, not as the angel of light, as an angel of light. But that is the most darkness you'll ever have. The highest deception there ever has been is that the devil getting you to believe he's God. Greatest deception. That's how he's got the whole world deceived except just a small group of people. But now he was exposed on the opening of the seals, and being exposed in the opening of the seals, it showed that a group of people would take what God's already give us and defeat him with it. I said, what he's already give us to defeat the devil with. There's not some magic potion. There's not another extra preacher. There's not another extra book. There's not another extra song we can sing. There's no extras. We have it among us and in us now. Okay? It's at our disposal right now, because Brother Branham said, rapturing faith lies in. He didn't say on. He said in the books and tapes. In. You got to get in it. Because the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So if therefore the light in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Isaiah 60 verse 1, we read this this morning. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Now watch, he's talking about a group of people. Arise and shine, for the light is come. All right, we've got light now. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, this earth, and gross darkness the people. In other words, in their minds and in their thoughts. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. But now what's going to happen is the deception of this next age coming up is this right here. We'll get into this a little bit later on, but not right now. But I wanted you to see that the scripture tells us exactly how Satan is going to work in the end time. Isaiah 4, verse 1. And in that day, that's this day, seven women, seven what? Seven churches. Seven church ages shall take hold of one man. Jesus Christ, saying, we will eat our own bread. Not Jesus is the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. They didn't say Jesus was. He said, they'll find their own bread and eat it. And they'll wear their own clothes. In other words, don't preach no holiness. We're going to wear what we want to, eat what we want to. Hello? That's what's happening now. Only let us be called by thy name, Christian, to take away our reproach. They don't want to be called harlots, but that's what they are. They don't want to be called prostitutes, but that's what they are. But they want to take on the name of Jesus Christ to take away their reproach. Don't call me that. Don't call me dog meat. Don't call me, you know, false this, false that. That's why they hated Brother Branham. But seven, remember, women means churches, so that we're talking about a church. We're not talking about all just seven women. But seven women during the seven church ages, there will be a group that takes a hold of one man. But now I'm not going to listen to what the man says. I'm going to eat my own bread. I'm not going to listen to what he says to wear. I'm going to wear my own apparel. That's pretty self-explanatory. But let us be called by your name. We want to be associated with you to take away the reproach that we're not sinners or the world. We want to be tied to you, but we don't want your name. We want to be called by your name. But see, you and I are not, we were called, but when we answered, now our name is his name. We're Mrs. Jesus Christ. They are not. So in the church ages, there was a group of people that took it, which is your light. See the light part up there? That the darker part is the ones that were Christians in their own right. But I just want to we'll get to that in the Eagle Age or the fourth seal, because that's when all this culminates. That's when Brother Branham says, I now call you bride. That's what he was talking about when he was preaching the seals. I now call you bride. I don't call you church. Okay? Our name is now Miss Jesus Christ. We are buried in his name. We are baptized in his name. We eat his bread. Amen. We wear his apparel. Everybody with me? You say, well, it don't mean anything. Well, yes, it does. The Bible said it did. Seven women want to take a hold of one man. But they don't want to do what the man says. They want to do what they want to do, but they want to keep his name. Now, Isaiah 30, verse 26. Heading toward the end time again. I'm reading this just to give you something to think about. Moreover, the light of the moon. Now, remember, the moon does not have light. Okay? That's why you see the, I don't know if y'all know how that works. But the sun and the sun shining, the earth gets in the way of the moon, our sun, one of the vice versa, and that's how you see your half moons and your quarters and your thirds and your three quarters and all that. It's because the light's been cut off from the sun. A total eclipse is when that comes across and gets between the sun and the moon, because the moon has no light. It's a reflection of. That's why you and I, the bride, are called the moon. Because we're a reflection of his light. But so watch. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. And then the light of the sun will be sevenfold. So the light of the sun, exponentially, if it's seven times brighter, and we're a reflection of that, we're going to be seven times brighter. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days or seven church ages. Right. In the day, now watch, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. When all this culminates, guess what, folks? You know what our wound is? Our flesh. Our wound is our flesh. That's where we're wounded. Everybody with me? And God's going to heal that because we're going to take a body change. We're going to move from something natural to something supernatural in the same element you have, the same chemicals that you are in front of me today. You're going to take the body change. It's not going to make you look different. It'll make you look 20 years old. But that's already inside of you. It's trying to work its way out. Because contrary to what people believe in the message, your soul is your theophany. Right. Your theophany, and that's a direct quote from Brother Branham. Amen. Your theophany is not somewhere hanging up like on a stick somewhere, on a nail, waiting on you to die to go get it. But that's very prevalent in the message. You know, y'all know the song. You know, my theophany, I hear it calling me. Well, where's it calling from? It's calling from here. Amen. This is where it's calling from. Your soul is your theophany. In Genesis 1, that's why I love that scripture. It puts so much together in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our own image. All right? Let him have dominion and all these different things. Well, that is the soul of God speaking out, saying, I'm going to have a group of people that are not just like me. They are me. Right. Satan is like God. I don't want to be like God. Right. I want to be God. Made manifest in another form called a bride. Right. See, that's true headship. We know where our headship comes from. Right. But when Brother Branham says she is him, that gives the headship over to us. The head's coming to us so that we can manifest the head. Right. Is everybody with me? We can manifest the head. Right. Where's it sitting down on? Here. On this earth. Right. And she is him. But it's going to happen when the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. What is the breach? It's a chasm. If you put water out and it goes over a dam, it breaches the dam. The dam overflows. Right. And healeth the stroke of their wound. The only wound we have is what we're living in. Right. Okay? So if somebody tells you your theophany is somewhere else, ask them where. If it's in heaven, you're already there. But Paul tells us we're living in heavenly places. Sure, your soul, by the new birth, is in a heavenly place. But that heavenly place is inside of you. You don't have to go get your theophany. If your soul's your theophany, then your soul, Brother Bram said, I don't believe in transmigration of souls. I don't believe in the preexistence of souls. So transmigration of souls would mean that me and Donnie can switch souls, or they can be a soul, two souls. That's where you get all that two-soul garbage. I got a soul, and there's a soul over there somewhere. No, you're one person. Everybody with me? You can disagree if you want to. I don't care. You know, Brother Brown said your theophany is 20 feet above you at a slant. Listen, your soul right now by the new birth is in another dimension. It's an eternal dimension because your soul is eternal. But it's inside of you. It's not somewhere over yonder somewhere. That would be two souls. God didn't kill your soul. He changed it. Brother Bram said he changed your nature. You have an Adamic nature that you were born with that was attached to your soul. And if you don't get born again, it will take over your soul and you'll go to hell. Everybody with me? This is just simple gospel, but I want you to understand something. That all this stuff flying around, you say, well, it doesn't make any difference, Brother Wade. Yeah, it does. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are, where you come from, and where you're going. This is where I hear from my theophany, right here. It calls me from the Word. It should call you from the Word. But he'll bind up the breach of his people. When the moon shines seven times more brighter than it's ever shined before. Why? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven church ages. The seventh age will be the brightest age because they're all come together. All right? And we will be as the sun. Everybody with me? Now, I'm sorry if you don't agree with that. We can talk about it later, but I know there's a lot of people that does not. They believe that even Brother Branham tells us, you know, he says you were born with an angel was assigned to you at birth, a special angel. Why? Because he knew you was going to need it. That's not your soul. We've had it preached in this pulpit, not from Dad, not from nobody we know, but that your soul, right? We remember that, don't we? That your soul was that guardian angel. So I got myself watching myself. And where's Abby Grace? That schizophrenia. Everybody with me? See how silly that is? Oh, there's Abby in the back. She's my doctor. She's taking psychology, so that's why I called her my doctor. And I'll be her first patient. She's in my phone as Dr. Abigail, and I'm in her phone as first patient. And I know it's a long time coming, but she's my kin folks, and I'll let her work on me. But anyway, but you see how silly things are when you just look at it simple. You were born body, spirit, and soul. Brother Brown said, when you were born, there was a soul waiting on you when you were born, right? That's your being. That's your life. That's you. That's your life force. And there's not another one like you. Because the soul, Brother Bram said, is the real you. You remember that sister that was dying? She's getting ready to die, and Brother Bram said her soul came up and accused that pastor of saying she was okay, saying everything was all right. You lied to me, Pastor. Brother Bram said her soul came up before her. What? What was inside of her? What was inside of her was believing that preacher that was telling her a lie. But the real her that had been suppressed by everything else was coming up. So the soul's a real you. And your soul doesn't go anywhere else. It doesn't migrate. It doesn't. The only place it moves is when you die. Okay? And I know there's an argument that Brother Branham said I was laying on the bed and 20 feet above me was my soul. And I understand that. That happened one time to a prophet to show us what was going on. Don't get quiet on me. I hope you believe that. Brother Dale's preached it for 50 years. Amen. Okay, so it's not something new, unless the new ones that are here that's never heard my dad. Yeah, he's combated that all of his life. Because you get into two souls, and God give you a soul, and the devil give you a soul, and this one give you a soul, and this one killed that soul, and that soul killed another. Let's just keep it simple. You were born with a soul. Up until you're 12 years old, that soul is pure because it was given to you by God. Everybody with me? When you come to the age of accountability, then that's where the dividing begins. It's not a soul dividing. It's a mental. You come to a mental condition that you're lost, or a mental condition that you need salvation. That's why Brother Branham said the age of accountability could be 10, it could be 50. Amen? You know, I thank God for a prophet that explains something so simple. What would happen to a child that was mongoloid or you know, come where they couldn't learn? Brother Brown said they have a special angel with them, and they'll go to heaven because they can't make decisions. What a mighty God! Just to make that statement, and I see one of the, and I feel sorry for the little kid. But I feel more sorry for the parents. Right. If the parents are not born again, that kid's going to heaven, and they're not.
Amen.
But the judgment is in your soul. Your judgment is not your body. Your judgment is not your memory, reasoning, conscious affection, and imagination. Right. Your soul will be brought up for judgment. So why would I want it somewhere else? God doesn't want it somewhere else. He's going to judge you in what you're in. Whatever condition you're in, your soul is in, when you die, that's the condition it's going to be raised in. And you ain't got to go get it over yonder somewhere. No. When people pass away, their soul just completely lifts out of their body at the speed faster than light. And just over into another dimension, and then materializes. They don't have to go over there and find their other one over running around somewhere. Foolish. To me, that's what the seals are for. The seal shows us all these great mysteries, even down to the minute details that a person that's slow learning will be given eternal life.
Amen.
Now, not bride, but eternal life. You know why? Because it's a condition man has created. You watch Brother Branham, he'll bring them to the prayer line, especially little kids. He'll say, that's not a spirit, that's genetic. That comes from this one, to this one, this one, this one, this one. And it's like the interbreeding and all that stuff. But that's where it comes from. It comes from genetics. And God says, okay, I know man's going to do that. So I'm going to give them a special angel that's going to be with them for the rest of their life. And then when they pass away, I'm going to put them in a place. And then we're going to come up at the resurrection, and we're going to put them somewhere. Because man did this. I didn't do this. Man did it.
Right.
Well, don't get quiet on me. But that's exactly what, this is what life is about.
Amen.
Your soul that you are, the soul you're going to be judged in is you're sitting in it today. So don't think you're hearing from your theophany. Yes, you are. But what is, Brother Brown said, King Theophany is the word of God. It's God Almighty himself.
Amen.
So what are we feeding on? The body word of that.
Amen.
Jesus' soul went to hell. He didn't go find his soul in hell. He didn't go find his soul in heaven. The Bible says when he passed away here, Brother Brown illustrates, when he died, he went straight down to hell and preached to the souls in prison. In the body, his theophany body.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
And Brother Brown tells us in what was that message? Who is this Melchizedek? He said, you bypassed your theophany. To come here, what? You bypassed what you should have been. But now that I'm born again, I'm what I should have been. Except the shell. Is that not too simple? That's just simple to me. We bypassed. See, Jesus came, soul came straight down into his body, and he never was a sinner. When that soul went in that baby, that was God. That was the life of God. The very soul of God went into that baby I was going to say Christmas time, but April. Okay? It didn't depart him. Stayed with him the whole time. He said, my soul is troubled. What? My soul. My soul is troubled. But now you and I didn't come that way. Because Brother Ram said Jesus could look back and say, before Abraham was, I am, because he was back there. His soul, his theophany of his being was there. That's what called out in Genesis 1:26 to divide himself up, was the very soul of God. If it's not, then you got a soul in Jesus and a soul in God, and you're right back to Trinitarian again. That thing just swept right down, and he come in flesh. We bypassed coming the way we should have come. I don't know why I'm doing this, but maybe somebody needs it. Maybe I need it. But don't let somebody steal your joy, because my eternal life resides right here. I ain't got to go get it somewhere. At the new birth, he didn't exchange your soul. He changed it. Brother Brown said, burnt your old nature out and put his nature or his soul inside of you. And that made you what? He said, God and you and theirs persons.
Amen.
Pretty simple.
That's right.
And you know what? If we get that revelation, we'll probably live a lot better. Knowing that it's Almighty God and not a second person, not a lesser being, not an angel, but God himself. I've always said when people pass away, it's not a normal passing when brothers like Dad and different ones sitting here that's passed on down. No, the death angel didn't come get them. No. They know death in a Christian. The death angel might have thought he was going to go down and pick one of them up. No. God said, no, this one's mine. This one's mine. I bought it.
Amen.
I'm going to get him. There will never be darkness. There'll be light. And it just like that, step into the room, step into the sixth dimension. And God said, you stay right here for a little while. I got some work to do.
Right.
You go fellowship with your brothers over there. I got some work to do. I'll be back in a little bit. There's no death angel coming picks a Christian up. Let the death angel pass. God's bride safe at last.
Amen.
Because of the token he gave that we could be saved.
Amen.
We are never going to get to this third seal. We got to. All right, let's see. Oh, I love preaching. Sometimes I don't like doing teaching, but I like preaching. All right, so we got to get through this. We got to get through this, though, because we can't skip it. So the black horse we see, remember, is power in the people, but absent of truth. So whatever power they got was not truth, it was error.
Right.
All right? Balances means economic control or manipulation or famine. What did he do during that fifth and sixth age? He manipulated people into believing more that he was God through science, literature, and all those things we talked about during the Enlightenment and the Industrial Revolution and the creation of all these things. But listen, we are recipients of that. We can read faster, do all these things faster. We can have the message right here pulled up like this instantly, where they didn't, but we do. So we use Satan's economy. Because you rode here in your Laodicean car. You didn't ride here in your 1852 horse and buggy. Buckboard. That's what I was trying to say. Thank you. Right? And you're not going to go buy a buckboard to say, well, bless God, I ain't going to be allowed to sin. Boy, you better give everything up then. I got a barn you can stay in if you need to, but we got to cut the electricity off and all. You see what I'm saying? But God just drops down and says, hey, Satan, if you're going to do this, I know you're going to do it, but I'm going to use it too. I'm going to use it for my people to be able to hear more from me. You think it's so that you can hit, they can hear it from you. Yeah, through television and 500 different channels. And think about that, though. Well, me and Danny and some of y'all were growing up, I know Donnie, we had four channels. Donnie, talk to him. Oh, Lordy. Danny said, y'all did? 2, 5, 11, and 4? 2, 5, 11, and then you had to go outside and point your... Do y'all not know what I'm talking about? We had a pair of bass grips gripped onto ours, and you go out there and turn it, and somebody go, move it to the left. No, that's too much. It's fuzzy. Move it back. Because, see, Greenville was that way, and Atlanta was that way. But now what did Satan do? He puts 500 of them on your phone, not just in your house where you got to sit by a TV. It'd blow Brother Branham's brain if he saw what the advancement of the devil was today. But God can use it, though, because without the internet, we wouldn't get a lot of the benefits that we get. Amen? And people having to sit at home and watch online, and that's fine and dandy. All right, if you can't get here. I do not advocate nobody sitting at home just watching, just so you can wear your jammies and eat popcorn. I believe I will. Everybody said the same thing, Brother Carlos. They just didn't say it as loud as you did. All right. You see what I have to put up with? But God will speak when the seal opens. So that's what's happening. And when we see this third seal, see, look, that third seal is heading. We're moving toward that eagle anointing. So we're heading toward the place to where God's going to say, you're not going to hurt my people anymore. I'm going to tell you you're not going to. You know, you leave them alone. Don't touch the oil and the wine that I'm getting ready to give to my people. Okay? Because remember, Amos says, I will send a famine in your land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of God. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and to and fro to seek the word of God, and shall not find it. Amen. We praise God that we found it, right? Amen. We found the true word of God. We found the true message. There's not another message. Because there's a group of people that will not find the truth. They will die in error. They will die in untruth. Right. Sorry. It's their choice. Now, this is kind of a long one, but I want to read this because I can't say it better than Brother Random can. So I'm going to read this quote. Now, the Lamb's got the book in his hand, breaking the seals. Broke the first one, second one. Now he breaks the third one. Now, watch. And as he breaks it, the Lamb breaks it, the third seal. So the Lamb breaks every seal. We know that, right? So he's on the scene breaking the seal. Now, how many knows what the third beast looked like? Looked like a man. First one, a lion. You look on the chart. Second one, a calf or an ox. And the third one looked like a man as a man. And I heard the living creature, that the beast, living creatures like a man, said to John, come see what it is, this mystery that's been hid. All down through the years of redemption since the foundation of the world. This is what we're dealing with right now. Since the foundation of the world, it's been hid under this seal. What's going to happen? Now come look what it is. And so he opens it up, a thunder blast. You want to know what the seven thunders are? It's a revelation. Whenever seal breaks, there's seven seals and seven thunders. Amen. Don't worry about it being seven people. Don't worry about it being seven messages. Don't worry about being you can marry seven wives. That's happened before. Yep. Well, bless them all. Yep. All eight of them. Now, come look what it is. And so he opens it up, a thunder blast, and the Lamb opens the seal. Now, John walked up to see what it was. Now, remember, John topped the bride. So the bride has to go see what it is. All right? What did he see? He seen a black horse. And his rider had a balance or scales. Everybody knows what he's talking about, a balance? Everybody know? It's the thing you hold. I mean, you sit it right here, but it's got two wings on it and two cups. And if you put a pound in here and 2 pounds in here, it's going to be like this. So what you do is, a long time ago, they would take a sure weight, which this is 16.9 ounces. So we'd put it on one side of the scale. So we know how much that is, all right? Then on this side, we would keep adding tea, coffee, whatever it is, to make that balance. Then we'd know there was that much over here and that much over here, all right? But remember, this man's balances were empty. He could turn the scale any way he wants to. Satan has no standard. He's wishy-washy. He can take the scale either way. That's the way I see it. He seen a black horse, and his rider had a balance or scales in his hand. Now, that's the first thing he saw. When the Lamb announced it, broke the seal, then the other beast. See, them beasts are taking turnabout announcing, come and see. And John, where he was standing, maybe like this, he's probably standing toward the pulpit. He walks up here when the Lamb opened it, walked over. Now, here he said it again. Usually the thunder strikes, as we've seen in the first seal. Okay, so the thunder, the voice of God, when the seal breaks, that's what the thunders are. When God reveals something to you, it will change you. Right. Amen. It will be a change of not your body, but a change of your inward being. Your memory and conscience if you're born again, okay? Right. Everybody with me? And when thunder strikes, have you ever sat, though, and you'd be sitting in your chair, and all of a sudden you don't see the lightning because it's somewhere else, and all of a sudden, pow, changes your attitude for a minute. Either we got to go to the bomb shelter, we got to get under the couch, or we got to clean ourselves up. Either one. Usually the thunder strikes. So what does it do? It changes you. It changes your situation. It changes everything. It messes with your mind. Right? You remember that sonic boom over there in South Carolina? The whole state, there was a sonic boom and don't know what happened. God may be speaking. God may be talking already. Have we heard the voice? And he watches to see what takes place. And he sees a man coming first on a white horse. He watches him ride down and on down through. John sees him plumb to the end. He sees him come down his white horse, got a bow in his hand, the rider has, and he has no arrows with it. And the next thing, he gets a crown, rides right on through. In other words, he keeps riding. He don't stop. He keeps riding. Then find out, and then the Lamb, here it comes again, he opens another and looks, and here comes a red horse. And this man has a sword in his hand. He rides on down through the scriptures with a sword in his hand and was to kill and take peace from the earth. And we already proved that, right? Amen. By doctrine and by physical killing. Now the Lamb opens another seal. Another one of the living creatures, like a man, says, come see. Now he walks up to see what it is. John's got to do something. You have got to want to know what these seals are about. Amen. If it doesn't mean anything to you, then you know, God bless you. God's not going to make you. But they're important to me. Amen. They're important to me to go to the next step in my journey. Right. If you don't have another step in your journey, I don't know what your journey's like. It may be finished. Right. Now he walks up to see what it is, and when he does, there comes a rider on a black horse. Now, last night we found out the same rider that rode the white horse was the same one on the red. And the voice in the midst of the beast called out, you see, to come see what it is. He was in this living creature, and he saw this black horse. And when the voice in the midst of the four beasts called out, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, but see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This rider, let's discuss him. If you'll notice the first rider, who he was, and we found out last night scripturally that the second rider was exactly the same man, only he was on another horse. What happened? He changed his ministry. God doesn't change his ministry. He can't change. He's unchangeable. But Satan can change his. That's why the Mormons have changed their Bible some 500 times since it was written, because it wasn't written by God. Well, don't get quiet on me. It wasn't written by God. God don't write stuff like that. Amen. He changed his ministry, see. We found out he was an Antichrist, and he changed his position. We found out that when he first, just as a white horse, he was a doctrine. Now, we're taking one of these right back to the scriptures, see. Now, let's continue reading. Here he comes in as the Antichrist, false prophet, then the beast, then in dark age. The church comes out of the dark age, and that's where we're starting right here, number 5. The fifth church age is when you come, the dark age was 4, we're coming out of 4 into 5, all right? Into the third seal, all right? Which is justification, sanctification, justification under who? Luther. Sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Pentecostals, and then the incarnate word, the way now. And he goes down, the church goes up. It's just as perfect as can be. Oh, beautiful. I just love it. What? We become incarnate word in the fourth seal. We become the incarnate word, fourth seal. And when we do, he becomes incarnate Satan, and he comes down. We'll get into that in the fourth seal. So let's explain this just for a minute real quick. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. Now, we know what wheat and barley is, right? It's 2 different things. Amen. 2 different things. 2 different plants. They mature 2 different times. Right. If you'll read your Bible, there's a wheat season, and then you'll go over to the book of Ruth. It's barley season. Right. And they bring the barley in, and the barley's more rough. Right. The wheat's more fine ground. The barley's a little more rough. But still, it's made into something you can eat. Amen. Okay? So a measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, Brother Brown, on the third seal, said, look, oil typifies spirit. And wine symbolizes stimulation of revelation. Right. Now, what did we say this morning? That to have revelation, you have to have the word in power. You can't have a false doctrine and have stimulation of revelation. Okay? Boy, I like to run all over the place. It's a wonder I didn't wake up the neighbors when the Lord showed me that. Y'all ought to try that sometime. I did it one time out in the woods. Just a little bit. Quit hunting, I had to. So, but he probably was shouting. I would have woke the neighbors up when the Lord showed me that. Stimulation of revelation, see? Oil and wine in the Bible, look, it's associated not just as revelation, as the Holy Ghost and the stimulation. It's always together.
Amen.
Oil and wine in the Bible is associated together always. I got the concordance, and look, there's a string of them, like where wine and oil goes together all the time. And I've got the scriptures. I think I've got them back there in the back where Brother Branham, in another sermon, he tells you where they are. But when the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints, look, that's filled with oil. He's talking to a mature group of people. He's not talking about babies. He's talking about a mature group of people that has the oil of the Holy Ghost in their soul already. All right? They all get stimulated. Wine is a stimulation. Glory, I feel it right now. Stimulated with joy, shouts. When it does, it has the same effect upon them that wine does upon a natural man. Because when the revelation has been given of a truth of God and the true believer filled with oil, you got to be filled with oil. You got to have the Holy Ghost first. Amen. You can't talk about, you're just talking out your ear if you don't have the new birth, talking about the revelations of God. Amen. You need to get a revelation. You need to get born again.
Amen.
All of you.
Amen.
Me too. I believe I have, but we all need to go and do it. Keep going.
Right.
What is stimulation?
Yep.
It is not sleeping. But when the revelation has been given of a truth of God and the true believer filled with oil and the revelation is revealed, the stimulation becomes so great that it makes him behave himself unnormally.
Right.
That's right. Glory. Maybe that's what's the matter with them now. That's right. It makes them behave theirself unseemingly. I think somebody was probably shouting in the congregation. And let me give you a footnote on this, and it does have something to do with this church. On the sixth seal, after Brother Branham preaches this, on the sixth seal, which is three nights after this, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Joe's in the back, his dad, Brother Mote, Brother Tatum, which was in this church, Brother Mote was the pastor here at the beginning, Brother Tatum was a deacon, Brother Joe's dad was a song leader. They went to Jeffersonville during the seals, and they sang, "If I Were You, I'd Make a Change." We've sang it here before a few times, but they sang, "If I Were You, I'd Make a Change." And that place just went, it's not on the tape, but they have it as a part of the tape at the song service. And they just go into a jubilee, and Brother Neville gets up and he says, "I think that's that wine and oil and wine Brother Branham was talking about a few days ago, that stimulation." So we do have something to do with that. So they were pretty much every one of them here in the church, except for Brother Mike Canada, and he was a minister, had his own church. But they sang, "If I Were You, I'd Make a Change." And they wrote some of the verses while they were going to Jeffersonville. So if you need any more history off of that, we'll ask Brother Joe, because it was his dad. And Joyce, too, and Charlotte. So look, the voice that came out was not the combat beast. The combat beast said, "Come and see." All right, so the combat beast was what? The man, anointing of a man. It was a voice of the Lamb. All right, now, who is the restorer? The Lamb is the restorer. Okay? Because the Lamb is considered in redemption. What is redemption? He is the Lamb of redemption. And that's where the restoration begins, is when the Lamb gave his life. And then the restoration really begins when he took the book in Revelation 5. So it proved that God is with us again. True revelation returns, the Lamb's protection. That's just some of the excerpts I got out of some of the notes. Is that God is not going to let anything happen. He's in control from then on. He was in control before. But he let Satan work and do the things he was going to do. But he said, "Look, I'm going to have a man named Luther. I'm going to be in him. He's going to preach my word, the just shall live by faith." There's a group of people going to take that, but there's another group of people that's going to build on top of that. Then there's another people going to build on top of that. Then we got a group in the end time that's going to build on top of that, which would be number four, which would be the restoration of the word back in power. And that's what we're under today, the Son of Man ministry. What does it say to this rider in black? "Don't you hurt my wine and my oil. Don't you touch it, my wine and oil." Now, I've got just a little bit of it down there, but there's still a little bit there. Because justification what? was a work of the Holy Ghost, but it was a, I'll read it in just a few minutes. Brother Branham said it was a sliver of light. But it was light. The light came on, that darkness went away. I've got to get a little bit out of it down there, but there's still a little bit there. Yes, sir. Now you can go through and measure it out, all that kind of light that you're putting out. That's up to you. You're going to pay for it down there, but when you come across that wine and oil, you leave it alone. In other words, watch. If you catch some of my little flock that's filled with the oil and wine, wine and oil is the pure word, and you're going to kill them, you're going to do that. That's what you're doing. Don't you force them to say Hail Marys or do anything like that or some of your creeds. You keep your hands off them. They know where they're going. For they are anointed with my oil, and by being anointed with my oil, they have the wine of joy. Because they know my word of promise. I'm going to raise them up again. Don't hurt that. Don't go trying to messing them up. Because just keep away from them. Now, on the fourth seal, he comes back and speaks to him again a little bit of background. Now, as oil symbolized the Holy Spirit, we find out that oil and wine is connected in worship. Always connected in worship. And the wine, I said, which come to me, that the wine symbolizes that it was the power of stimulation by revelation. That's when something has been revealed. It gives stimulation to the believer because it's presented by revelation. That's why Brother Bram in the Church Age book said, we love revelation. Amen. We love, the bride loves God revealing something to us that he hadn't revealed to the world. It gives stimulation to the believer because it's presented by revelation. See, it's something that God has said. It's a mystery. They can't understand it. And after a while, God comes down and reveals it and then vindicates it. Remember, if the truth is revealed, the truth is also vindicated. All right? That's why we had to have a vindicated prophet to know that he was telling the truth. It was vindicated. All right? Everybody with me? No matter how smart the person might be, how brilliant he might be in his mind, if God don't back up what he's saying, there's something wrong. Because it's the word. Now, when Moses went out under the inspiration of God and said, let flies come. Let frogs come, frogs come. See, what if he said, let flies come and they didn't come? Then he didn't speak the word of the Lord. See? He only spoke his own words. Now, this is setting a stage for that fourth seal, because that fourth seal, somebody's going to have to speak, and a body change happens. Somebody's going to have to speak, and a resurrection happens. So we're getting into, as Brother Brown said, speaking condition. If you can see justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the word restored back in power in this eagle age that we're living in now. All right? Just a few more. Now, I've got another thing I want you to notice. Notice, it was not one of the four beasts that said, don't touch the oil and wine. Did you notice that? The four beasts had been talking, but watch. Let me just read out here just a little bit. Say, now, a measure of penny for a wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and wine. Now, look. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. What was it? The lamb. All right, it was the lamb. It wasn't the four beasts. The lamb said it. Why? He's going to take his own that belongs to him. He's redeemed it. Amen. Don't you touch that oil. No, sir, not the four beasts. But the lamb was the one that said it. Oh, my, the lamb, not the four beasts, didn't announce it. The lamb said itself when the four beasts said, come and see. They went. They seen it. He said, a measure of wheat. Oh, so and so. But then the lamb cried out right among them and said, don't hurt the oil and wine. Don't you hurt it, boy, or you're going to pay for it someday. All right, who was he talking to? He was talking to the devil. Right. He was talking directly to the devil. He wasn't talking to nobody else. He was talking straight to the devil. Don't you hurt it. He was talking to that third horse rider that was on his third stage of ministry. And he said, I don't care what you do, you're not going to hurt these people. So that's who he was talking to. And the Holy Ghost is back in power in the fifth and sixth church age, because in the fifth age, you had a messenger named Martin Luther that had a message of restoration. Remember, he was a reformer, but he had to start restoration in that fifth age. And then the sixth age, why do you think God had so much involved in that? Because all Brother Brown taught was justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every time you hear, every sermon he preaches, justification unto Luther, sanctification unto Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost unto the gifts and restoring to the gifts in the Pentecostal age.
That's right.
So God was talking to the devil, said, I'm going to send a messenger named Luther. You're not going to stop him. You might have stopped all these other ones. You're not going to stop this one. I'm going to send one called Wesley. You're not going to stop him either till I'm finished with him. Then I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, and you're not going to stop him either. Then I'm going to send a messenger in the last age, and you're not going to stop him either. I will restore. So the restoration begins, but it started by reformers, as we were talking about this morning. So Luther had what? Just a little bit of light. You got a little strength, you got a name that you live by, but you're dead. Why? Because Luther still was under a denomination. He wasn't a denomination yet, but he'd still brought the Catholic Church ideas with him.
Amen.
In his messages, in his sermon. Right. But he had a little sliver of light that, listen, that God was pleased with.
Amen.
Martin Luther is going to be in the same city you're going to be in the future home, because he brought a bride out in that church age, and that bride's going to live in that city just like me and you did. Amen? We're not going to get over there and say, well, Luther, you was just a little sliver of light. No, about now, I think he believes and knows he was a little sliver of light. It's morning church age. Now, the first age, the other side of the great hump. Now, what was the great hump? Let's read this again. Now, if you notice, the light of Pentecost, where it started, gradually, the light, he's not talking about this Pentecost, he's talking about Pentecost over there at first church age. Okay, AD 30 Pentecost, original Pentecost. Now, the light of Pentecost, where it started, gradually smothered out. These men, Irenaeus, Polycarp, and all the rest of them, sealed their testimony with their blood until it finally squeezed Christianity into the darkest of days. What? The fourth church age.
Right.
Now, look, the first age on the other side of the great hump is what? Luther.
Right.
The fifth church age. Coming over was a little bit of light, more light than more light. See how it begins to shine again? Coming into that day. And now at the end of this age, it's predicted here it would come to a Laodicean lukewarm time. So what was Luther's message? The just shall live by faith. And that was what? The stimulation of revelation for that time.
Amen.
God was pleased that Martin Luther preach the just shall live by faith. Just a little bit of light. You know why? Because it's just only two scriptures in the Bible that says the just shall live by faith. But the Catholic Church has got all these other beliefs, but Martin Luther said, nope. The just shall live by faith, and they say that he stood up one day and he said, alone. You know why? Because that's all he knew. That's all he knew. The just shall live by faith, and God said, I'm pleased with that. That's what I wanted to happen. Luther, you're starting it. You're the two shoots. You're what's coming up out of the ground. And I'm going to protect those two shoots. I'm not going to let a storm knock it down. I'm not going to let somebody step on those two shoots. I'm going to protect those two shoots. Because in the life of those two shoots, it's me and you.
Amen.
The life of those two shoots, we are in that life.
Right.
We don't look like it. Because we're already full grain over here, but it had to start with two shoots with life in it. Then Wesley had to come a stalk up the life, same life. Amen? Pentecost bringing the shuck to protect the wheat. And then the wheat is me and you. The Son of Man back in power again. That's the stimulation of revelation. That third seal, when it comes and opens, God said, I'm done, Satan. I'm done with you. I finished playing with you. I only got a few hundred years left. And I'm going to fulfill my word. We're going to come to a time that it's going to be Luther, Wesley, More Light, Pentecost, and then the full light. The light of the moon is going to be seven times brighter than it's ever been before. Because it's going to be the sun made manifest. S-O-N, made manifest in another form called a bride. Musicians, come on. That's what's going to happen. And we'll look into Wesley just a little bit before we get out of the third seal, because the fourth seal culminates everything. Everything's culminated in that fourth seal, because what is the fourth seal? Let's stand to our feet. What is the fourth seal? It's the white horse, the red horse, and the black horse combined into one horse.
Amen.
Same rider, but it's the three horses, white, red, and black. And if you'll take white, red, and black paint and put it in a bucket and stir it up, it's the most putrid color you'll ever see in your life. Because look, just visualize white, red, and black and mix it together. Not even a good-looking color. But what did it do? It showed that, number one, if Satan was coming back into power, God's coming back into power, because he's taking the lion, ox, man, and eagle. He's taking every church age messenger, every revelation from AD 30 till now, and he's going to culminate it in a group of people called the bride. Final voice to the final age under her messenger. That's what we are today. We are a culmination. We're not the pale horse. No, we have the eagle anointing, which is flying higher than anything else. This day, this hour, these scriptures are being fulfilled.
Amen.
You take the quotes and the scriptures, and we're fulfilling them. You remember when Jesus was there at Calvary, 490 scriptures, I believe it was, or 400-something scriptures were revealed or made known during his crucifixion, all the different ones back in before his bones stare at me and all these things, right? Well, he could have, if he would have been able to say it, he said, this day, these scriptures are fulfilled in your midst. And then Brother Branham preached, this day, this scripture's fulfilled, because that happened with him when he was talking about the Bible and the Catholic priest. Well, I'll tell you today. Today, this scripture is being fulfilled. This quote's being fulfilled. This manifestation is being fulfilled. This revelation is being fulfilled. This is the fulfillment. This is the end of it, folks. This is not. We're not starting to make the soup. The ingredients are being boiled. We're the end time. We are the soup, which is just like the pale horse, but that's what we are. We're part of justification, part of sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, true word of God, no eternal hell, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just throw it all in that soup pot and turn it up and let's boil it and let's get out of here. That's what I want to do. I hate going to the doctor, and I know Brother Dan does too, and I know all of you do. If you like going to the doctors, you need prayer. Yeah, something's wrong with you. Wouldn't that be that what it would be? Donnie said, something's wrong with you. Well, that's exactly what it'd be. Something would be wrong with you. You've been in Sue's drugs.
Not yet.
Okay, not yet. We need to pray for Sister Susan. She's doing good, though. She's doing good. She's getting around good. That's why I'm going to go see Dr. DeCook and ask him. But we rely on God. We don't rely on that, right?
Amen.
We trust God for everything that we do. Even when we go to the doctor, Brother Dale, what do you always say? Set your medicine out and pray for your medicine.
Right.
Pray that it'll work right. Pray that you don't take the wrong amount. Pray that you take the right amount. Pray that this does. And to me, that's profound revelation right there. Because most people in the message are like, well, bless God, you ain't got no faith. You need to throw the thing in the trash. Yeah, you'll throw it in the trash till you need it.
Right.
God will test you, I'll promise you. He'll test your faith. You throw that bottle out somewhere and you'll be going out and digging it up trying to find it again. Yep. Let's be sensible. Do what the doctor says, but believe that God's the great healer.
Amen.
Let's sing a song. God bless you. Thank you again for staying in between services. That was a good thing we did.
Somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only who always cares and understands.
Sing it to him.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand.
Sing it to him.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always cares and understands. And standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Oh, I shall know him. I shall know
time we can talk about redemption, it makes my heart glad. You cannot be redeemed by yourself. Satan will never redeem you. Only one man can bring you to redemption, and that's the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. Brother Brown said one time, he said, hold that word redemption. So hold on to it. That's our everything that you can say, one word, Brother Kern, one word, that one word redemption, it covers everything. Even when God said, let us make man our own image, that is redemption. Because that person didn't need redeeming, but once that person got inside you, he needed redeeming. Once we got on the other side of the chasm, everybody needed redemption, except for one man. And that's the man that we call the Redeemer, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb that opened the seals, the Lamb that said, don't you hurt my oil and wine, don't you hurt my people. Leave them alone. If you do, you're going to have to deal with me. Now, why don't we take that now and believe that today? Let that Lamb speak out here and say, Satan, not my kids, not my health. Nope. No, God said come boldly to the throne of grace. So we take it boldly to the throne of grace, Satan. You can't take it to the throne of grace. Satan knows nothing about grace. He actually hates it because he can't have it. He can't be redeemed. By grace are we saved through faith. And that's our redemption. The redeemed, like you sang that song before we came out. When the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing. Mike, could you imagine what's going to happen? Brother Manuel, you know what's going to happen? Billions of angels, pure white angels. Thomas, they don't have wings. They're not girls. He had a guy ask him that at school. No, they don't have wings. And they don't need wings. And they're not girls. But billions of angels are going to be shouting. They're shouting right now. But when we walk into that gate of that new city and we're done and we're finished, no tears, no heartache, no pain, no trouble. We're in the bliss of eternity. They'll have to be quiet. You can only shout about what you know. They don't know redemption. They know him as God. They know him as Elohim. They know him as the one person that created everything and created them. But they never fell. They never had a heartache. Sure, they may have watched us go through it, but they didn't go through it like we did. But I always like to think this, Brother Joe. They may be shouting glory, glory, glory. Our shouts are going to drown out theirs. And then when they do, they're going to say, we better be quiet because we don't know what these people are talking about. They're having a fit. Because remember, this is the quietest place, Brother Ram said, there ever will be, is the earth. You believe that? I believe that. The angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Let's sing one more song and then we'll be dismissed. God bless you, Brother Luis. You'll be speaking Wednesday night. Go downstairs and have a meeting for a little while about the food for June. Yes, we will.
Amen.
Oh, what a good time. When the redeemed.
Hallelujah. I tell you, I hope you have a peaceful night rest tonight, knowing you're the redeemed. It's good to know who you are, to know your identity when this world don't even know who they are, where they're going, where they come from. But the Lamb, that's the key. That's who we're identified in. Amen. We just thank the Lord for the service this evening. Brother Aaron, would you come and dismiss us in a word of prayer before we separate?
Amen. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the word we've heard today, Lord. Yes. Lord, for our, Lord, to see who we are and to see the places that we've come from, Lord. Lord, as Satan has blinded the people and worked to, Lord, just to create such confusion and deception, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we thank you for the clarity of the word that shows us who we are and where we're standing. Lord, we see all the way down through, Lord, you had a group of people that carried the gospel, carried the light. Lord, you've shown your light on us, Lord, and it's our day to show it to the world, Lord. And Father, I just pray for each one as we leave, Lord, just watch over each one as they travel, Lord, as bless the work week, Lord, just everything that we do, Lord, we just watch, pray that you have your hand upon us. And Lord, may people see Jesus Christ in us, Lord. May we always be sensitive to that, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can speak to someone, that, Lord, that they will see you in us, Lord. We can minister to those that have needs, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, as we get ready to leave, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, whatever the needs are, Lord, we know that we've committed them to you. And Lord, you'll come and answer them. And we just pray for our brother Luis as he'll be coming Wednesday night to minister. Lord, I just pray that you anoint him, Lord, and just prepare us to receive what you have for us. We commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, when the redeemed.